repeat, boom, 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 boom. And then he told the people, what did he tell them, Ade? So people left, went outside, and were eating grass because that was God's food. Not exactly. I got the video on my phone. And you're like, huh? Because people are looking for miracles. I don't know what kind of miracle that is. It looked insane. But here's the problem. It's not abnormal. Well, I'll get to what we're going to talk about. Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4. The author of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord Jesus, and was confirmed unto us by them, the apostles, that heard him, God also bearing them witness. You know that group of apostles. And how does he bear them witness? With signs and wonders, with diverse or different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessing on our time. Father, help me to be a help. That's my desire this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week, we spent a lot of time, which I'm going to go back to, and then I'm actually going to tell you what we really should have spent time on. So I think I learned more last week than you did. Because in 45 minutes last week, I learned the question. There was a question that we were asking that I was asking, but I couldn't put my mouth around it. And here's the question. Are you ready for the question? What does the, here it is, here's the word, friend, normal Christian life look like? And I think I spent 45 minutes last week. You didn't know we were discussing that, but I have thought this whole week, and I have talked to Dr. Bowder, I've talked to Dr. Moritz, I have thought and thought and thought. I will be thinking more about that question than any question. Do you understand questions? Or are you one of those people that, look at me, you're only interested in the answers. The answers aren't important. The questions are. What does the normal Christian life look like? What is it? Otherwise, you get saved on a Sunday or at home. You get saved. What does it look like to follow Christ? This is really, excuse me, this is the discussion we're going to be having today. Please look at me, friend. We're not having a discussion about miracles. We're having a discussion about that question. What does it look like to live the Christian life? Now, last week, we started talking about these miracles and stuff, and I'll give this to you very quickly. I said there was a wide divergence. On the extreme over here, we have people who believe in signs and wonders. And that is very extreme. On the other extreme, there are people that believe in no signs, no wonders, I'm going to abbreviate that, and really, no miracles. Now, friend, take perfect notes, miss the point. I'm asking a what question? Phil, you got saved, what should you be expecting? Should you think a miracle a minute? Have you ever listened to charismatics teach? You want to live in the anointing. Now, they never tell you what that means. I want to live in the miraculous. What does that mean? I don't have to work. I don't have to go to school. What does that mean? By the way, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I want you to think about the question. So when you get saved, what does God do? Beam you up and you never have problems again? Or God just delivers you and all of a sudden you don't have to worry about anything? Do you understand that question is the question that you and I must ask? Boy, to me, this is the life. I don't know why I hadn't thought of the question. Can I ask you, tell you something? I don't know why I can't find a book that doesn't answer the question. Why are there not books that tell you this is what you should be expecting? But you hear preaching, and a lot of the preaching is kind of like, I got problems, deliver me. People go to church every week to get delivered. Delivered from what? Yes, Mike, it's like reality. All of a sudden you wake up and you realize I have problems in my marriage. Please tell me who doesn't. Well, excuse me, Jake and his sweetheart don't have problems. They've only been married 2 weeks. How do you have problems? Well, by the way, I'm guessing as perfect as she is, Jake can irritate you sometimes, right? Go ahead and say it. If you've been married as long as some folks in this room have been married, think about poor Lois. That's my point. Crowns in heaven, brothers. Crowns in heaven. By the way, I need to correct something about Frenchie. I've been calling him an old geezer. And you know, I'm going to say this positively about him. For a guy 270 years old, he looks pretty good. I better move back to the notes here. But seriously, what should we look for? Well, there are some that say, man, we just live in the signs and wonders and miracles and every day and, you know, and oh, and by the way, that's exciting. That's, you know what that's like, Emily? That's like going to the award ceremony every night and winning everything. But is that the normal Christian life? By the way, you ought to read in 10, 11, 12 somewhere, where the Apostle Paul describes his life. Hey, this is Paul. He's saying, you know, I spent some time in the ocean. I got beaten with rods. I got beaten with, you know, I got stoned. Wait a minute. Paul, didn't you have the anointing? It becomes ridiculous when you read the Bible, when you hear some of this kind of, I'm not mad at anybody. You hear this kind of preaching and you're like, come on, folks. Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes you don't want to go to work. Sometimes you don't like the people you work with. You know, Nancy's always here to be a blessing, isn't she? Oh, Nancy, I love you, sister. Yeah, but who is living with this? And what would that mean? So, may I ask, do you understand that question? Now, answering that question is much more difficult than you think. Where would you find that at? We'll talk about that maybe a little bit. Well, over on this side, people are very open and very gullible. And Ade, can I ask the question, can we get that thing and put that on a laptop and show it next week? We need to do that. I have it on my cell phone. Honestly, I thought, oh, come on. Somebody's messing around. But they're not. People are out eating grass in front of the church. No joke. Thinking somehow this is part of the anointing or the miraculous or... By the way, are these people gullible? Now, folks, here's how you know you're gullible. Anytime you believe something that is not biblical, and when you talk to, not all charismatics, but most, and you say, where is it slain in the Spirit in the Bible? And their answer is, they don't care. They'll look at you, I've experienced it, you haven't. Okay? That's gullibility. And boy, there's no end to this. Over here, of course, these people are not gullible, but they're very close too. And that's the other extreme, meaning they don't really expect God to ever do anything. So they couldn't pray for Dr. Moritz or, frankly, for your... Listen, Louis's dad gets saved at 88 years old. Now, if you don't understand that's a miracle, you don't get miracles. That's the power of God. Is it a sign or a wonder? I think not. You know, but I do believe God can save people, and that's just crazy. I mean, I loved it. I loved everything about yesterday. What a privilege. You say, where are you at? If this is one here and that's 10 here, we're somewhere over here. My position is this. There are miracles. But there are no signs and or wonders. And you say, why? Well, we'll get to that in the notes. I believe in being open to God. And may I say this? If somebody is suffering, I think we ought to pray. Now, that doesn't mean we have, in the name of Jesus, get over the stupidity. Please don't ever tell God what to do. Where would you get that from? It's all right to ask God. But may I say this to you? Some of you know the verse. Why don't we look there? Let's look at Psalm 106. Mike Rock can quote this for you. Psalm 106, verse. The only reason I know Mike can quote it is he's quoted it to me after church before. Psalm 106, verse 15. Do you know the verse? Everybody find it? Is that the verse that says something like he gave them their request and did what? Now, by the way, just because you asked for something, wouldn't it be better if you always said, God, I want your will? Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to pray for Louis's family now that I've heard that you have a family member that has cancer. I believe in praying for people. Folks, if you want to know that verse, you know, the verse you just read, here's your challenge. There was a great king in the Old Testament named Hezekiah. God told him he was going to die, set your house in order, and the king then prayed. Do you remember the story? Now, I'm assuming you know this. Some of you do, some don't. He prayed, and God extended his life. But do you know during that extension of life, he had a son, which was the worst king Judah ever had, named Manasseh, and that king reigned for 55 years? So sometimes praying and getting what you want might not be what you need. I would say this, God, I believe the Bible doesn't, I don't think the Bible teaches this. God, I want a new car, I want a new job, no, I think it starts this way. Thy will be, you start with God's will. Then you ask God, and it's okay to conclude with God's will too. Because I don't want something that's not his will. And he can give us stupidity. You know, he can, all right, you want to eat some grass out there, go for it. It's like, okay. Do I believe in the miraculous? Last week we started this by Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My friend, our God can work, change things. Look at me. You have problems in your marriage. Can God fix those problems? Oh, yes. You have problems with your children. God can fix things. But the question is this. What does he normally do? We're going to do it. We might get done with these notes in 3 years. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is not the whole normal Christian life, but I want to give you a hint what a Bible-believing Baptist believes. If you're reading the ESV, which is fine, or a modern version, it's going to change a little bit, verse 15. And frankly, don't get too offended, King James people. It's going to be a little bit more accurate. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 3. King James says, and that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the what? Yeah, it's a little more properly this, the sacred writings, but it's the same thing. Sacred writings, Holy Scripture, it's the same thing. You have known the Holy Scripture, which are what? Make you wise into salvation through faith, which is? Now, by the way, where does this Christian life begin? It always comes back to the Word of God. We're not done yet. Look at me. But did always, so all that's necessary for you and me to be saved is the Scripture. So most of your life is going to, by the way, we sing a song. I know you've never sung it before. I cannot summarize this question any easier than the song. With one exception, if you're a pious person, you think that's what happens at the beginning. I believe this. I believe as you got saved, you trusted Christ and you obeyed the gospel. And as you move forward in life, you continue to trust him and you continue to obey. It never changes. I think on the normal Christian life is always rooted in the Scripture. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or it is theonoustos, it is God-breathed. And it is what? Profitable. The Word of God not only is sufficient for your salvation, verse 15, it's sufficient for, I'm using big language, are you ready? Your sanctification. It's profitable for rebuke, for correction, for instruction, and all those things in doctrine. And then we go to verse 17. That, now remember, Paul's writing Timothy, so we have to expand this for us. That the man of God, or in our case, the child of God, may be perfect. Meaning what? Mature. So the word of God is not only sufficient for salvation, it's sufficient for our sanctification. You can become all that God wants you to be from, through the Scripture. So it starts with Scripture, it continues with Scripture. Yes? Look at verse 17 again, that the man of God, or the children of God, may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto what? It starts with salvation, moves to sanctification, and moves to service. So the whole Christian life is rooted in Scripture. Any church that's not rooted in Scripture is not a Christian church. See, what about the Spirit? Where exactly does the Scripture come from? So what you're saying to me is, I think the Spirit speaks to me. The Spirit's already spoken to you. Shut up. It's called the Bible. You don't need extra help. Now, when you've mastered the Bible, maybe you can ask God for some more. Really? My friend, the normal Christian life, from salvation to sanctification to service to the future, is rooted in the Scripture. Now, I'm going to add two things, and I'm going to quit this. We're going to go to the notes. Two things are going to happen to your life. There's going to be elements of suffering along the way. I cannot escape it in the New Testament. There is always these elements of suffering. Trials, whatever term you want to use. Yes, you show me one person that didn't go through lots of stuff. And if you're not going through stuff, God bless you. If you're a Christian, you will. And on the other side, the normal Christian life does occasionally. Now, wait a minute. All the time, God's providence. God is always in control of things. But occasionally, God reaches down and does things that you're like, woo! So if you live to be 80 years old and you've been saved for 65 years, in your lifetime you might see a miracle here or there. If you see one every week, you and I have a different definition of miracle. For you, a miracle is, I don't know what it is. But when God does something, you'll know He's done something. So can I say something to you? Here's your Christian life. If you're saved, you got saved by hearing the gospel. And that you can do that as a child. That's the beautiful thing. It's beautiful when our little children, I'm not talking about four or two, but somewhere along the line they grow up in a Christian home, they hear the gospel, they get saved, but it continues. Sanctification, the growth in grace continues with the word of God. Service tells you how to serve the Lord and it enables you to serve the Lord. It just moves right forward. Along with some trials, tribulation, and troubles. And yes, we pray and ask God to do the miraculous. And sometimes He does, and sometimes He says, you know, Paul, I think you need that thorn in the flesh. Some of you have been praying for a new pastor, but here's what God has said. You need a thorn tree in the flesh, and I'm that thorn tree. All right. By the way, we can look at Ephesians. We don't have time. Look at me. I'll let you do this. Read the book of Ephesians. I think 35 years ago, I read a statement about the book of Ephesians. Here's the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, it focuses on the word wealth, what we have in Christ. Chapter 4 starts with the word, I'm doing it. Starts with the word what, Ron? I'm doing it. It just tells you to walk. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Walk in love. It tells you about five times how to walk. Why? Because the normal Christian life is not the miraculous. No, the normal Christian life is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's walking with the Lord. And you go from wealth to walk to warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, that's the Christian life. The Christian life is not going to be God bailing you out of debt. God, oh, come on, send me some money so God can bail you out of debt. Do you realize how nonsensical that sounds? By the way, if you're going to send some TV preacher money, it's the same as playing the lottery. There's no difference in these. How does God want you to, first of all, does God even want you to accumulate wealth? But if He does, how are you going to do it? Walk, 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 walk. 30, 40, 50 years of working, investing, doing, and at the end of the day, you have enough money to bury yourself. What else do you need? You say, I want to give to your children so your children can have a fight? Okay. We're moving. Sorry, folks. That was my introduction. Now, can I ask a question? Do you understand that question? If you don't have an answer to that question, you're going to have a problem with this church. Because some people are going to think God's going to bail me out, or I'm going to surrender and it's all going to go away. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, this is called the Bible, folks. It's like a city that is broken down without rule. Here's what you need to learn today. Start learning to take yourself in hand. Learn. How many times have I preached this? Don't listen to yourself, preach to yourself. So when I look out at that guy yesterday, his eyes were just a wiggling. He doesn't know what's going on because he doesn't see himself. And I'm like, there's no hope for that guy because he can't get himself under control. 10 years from now, he'll be the same guy. How do you know that? How do you know that? We've kind of seen it here a week or two. All right. Let's look in your notes, please. Now we'll take a big breath and try to at least get the first point done if we can. And please be back next week so I can finish this up. The early church era obviously experienced not only miracles, but signs and wonders. Now, folks, a miracle, the Greek word is dunamis. We get dynamite from it, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means it's about God's power. And God's power in some areas is always available. But a miracle is different than that. I mean, a sign is, because it's a miracle, but it also has the idea that it has a purpose. A sign has a purpose to point to something. And frankly, it's not something we need. We don't need certain signs or certain wonders. We still need God to intervene. But wonders and signs are different. They're more than, because they have purposes. I think Jesus resurrected somebody from the dead that was rotting in the grave. Now, take a breath. Can he do that today? Sure. He's going to resurrect everybody from the grave one day. Does he do that today? Of course. What would be the purpose? He's already demonstrated, hey, I can do that. That's the sign. I rose over the grave, death, and hell. That's the ultimate sign. Folks, he doesn't need to show you too many times. Well, you put God in. Don't talk nonsense. God in a box. And doesn't have a purpose. Well, we begin with this. Signs, wonders, and frankly, miracles too, were always by God's what? You know what sovereign means? How many people know what sovereign means? Means God chooses himself. He's absolute. Meaning he didn't say, Tim, would you like one? Or you can't go to him and say, I'm going to twist God. I remember hearing in Bible college some nonsense preaching about, literally I heard sermons on, it was called this, buttering God up. I heard these regularly. I can't get into why they were preached, but, and he'd always use the analogy, you know, my daughter will come to me and weasel things out of me. Folks, you're not going to fool God by buttering him up. He even said praise to God was buttering God up, because that's what it was so perverted. And what it really was making him God and the real God less than God. God makes choices. He always has. Let's look at some of these texts together. Hebrews 2 verse 4 clearly says this. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers or different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, what? According to his own will. My friend, central to all of this is God has a will. And God's will is sovereign. I think that's a word that Americans struggle with, because in many situations we think, we are sovereign. I make the choices, not God. But God just makes choices. And any miracle or sign or wonder that ever happened, God chose or didn't choose to do so. Let's read on in 1 Corinthians 12. I love these verses. These verses have helped me personally. In verse 11 it says, but all these worketh at one and self-same spirit, Holy Spirit, dividing to every individual, not male, but individual, person, woman or man, severally, as he will. 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. God does that. Verse 24, and by the way, this is both the local church and the church universal. Applies in both places. Verse 18, but well, I've already said that. 24, for our comely or our attractive parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism, ripping of the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And God has set some in the church. I mean, it's always about God. What does that mean? God makes the choices. How much of your body, look up here, folks, if you understand the local church and the church universal, God makes choices. Now, all of us would like to be the most beautiful part of the body. I can remember people getting angry at me because they haven't been applauded. I've had people get mad at me because I applauded certain people. The person that's drawn the most ire, you know, is poor Sparky, because I would brag on her and other people got mad because, folks, I brag on her more than I brag on me. You know, I've been around this place 21 years, and this girl is so different than any person I've ever been around in my life. How can I not brag on her? Look what she's done to the fine arts department. Tim, could I do it? That's a frightening thought. That's a frightening thought. Then I got this guy named Durham over here trying to teach young men how to do woodworking. And you know Alan, I love Alan. Hopefully he's here tonight. Alan won first place in the state in woodworking under this guy's mentorship. Now, Tim, he doesn't want to accept any praise. I get that, Tim. Tim's a sweet guy and a humble guy, but he didn't learn it from me. I know the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. I'm not sure how to use either one. Just stay away from hammers and screwdrivers. I am dangerous with such things. Don't run with them. Let me ask you a question. How much of your body do you like? Mary, what part of your body would you like, besides of your husband, what part of your body would you mind missing? Any of it? You don't need a toe or two, do you? Oh, okay. Sister, I'm not going there. You look just fine. I'm not going there. You know, we don't really want to give up anything. And you know what's amazing? Do you know the part of your body that's not very important to you? Hurt it and see how important it is. It's amazing. You know, you never think about parts of your body until it's hurt, and it's like, it's the center of the whole universe. Why? Because God's made our body to be a unit. Now, you can talk about knees and ankles, but boy, if those knees aren't working, nothing's working. Recently, I don't do this very often. I don't have a trick back or anything, whatever that means, but I twisted my back, and maybe you saw it, because it only bothers me when I'm seated and getting up, and I'm starting to look like old men. I get up, and it's like, here's how I walk for a while, and then it's like, there we go. What I think I need, by the way, is the tin man needed the little oil? I think I need a shot of oil is what I need. It's amazing. Do you know in a church, when a church is functioning properly, some of us aren't going to get much praise. Does that mean we're not necessary? That's exactly wrong. God makes sovereign choices. Some of you say, well, I just think I should be the person. Take Pam's math class. First of all, you couldn't even carry the book. I can't even pick her book up, let alone teach her math. I thank God for all the people that we have here serving in 1,000 places. Are they all important? By the way, who makes the choices? Are you thankful for that? Some people get jealous. What are you jealous for? Here's what the problem is. You're jealous because you don't think what you have gets enough acclaim. But here's the problem. God has designed the body where if you're not doing what's right, the body is Oh no, you're not the important person. You're not the person out in front. But if you're not doing what God has called you to do in the local church and in the church universal, it shows up. Tim, what do you have? Back problems or neck problems? They alternate. I have worse problems, brother. I have Nancy problems. Those are the worst of all. Let's look in your notes, please. Matthew 6. I love this. I love the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, meaning sanctified, set apart. I want God's name set apart where it's not dragged in the mud. If I could say anything, Louis, that happened yesterday, the true God's name was honored in that service. They saw, your brothers and your family saw things they were not expecting to see. And though you're not an American, they knew one thing, brother, you guys are loved, did they not? And we're part of something bigger than white or Filipino or that kind of nonsense. Absolutely. How about Luke 22? The Lord Jesus himself, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You say, why would Jesus pray this prayer? He knew what it actually meant. He knew he was going to suffer God's wrath for our sin on himself. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, I'm going to give you these bullet points and we'll be done this morning. These are very simple ideas, friend. Number one, but here they are. God has a will. If you listen to charismatics, it's as if God does not have a will. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. It's like, folks, I begin with God, not me. And God has the big will and I got the pipsqueak will. But somehow this all gets changed and I've heard people demand of God things. I can imagine on a ship, Cliffy, you go to the captain and you demand something. You're not demanding the second time, are you? You're some other place. Not a good place. Maybe Diego Garcia for the rest of your career. Can you imagine people go to God and do you not know God has a will? Next. God's will, I'm going to use two words, is determinative. If you don't know what that word is, just skip it. God's will decides. Next, believers pray for God's will to be done or accomplished. That's what we pray for. We're not praying for my will. Friend, a child thinks they get into the butter and they think the butter is good and they don't understand why mommy won't let me eat butter. And you hope the mother is wiser than the 4-year-old or the 3-year-old. Look, do you really think, let me ask you something. I know the older people here will say, I know what they're going to say. Do you really want your will to be done? No. I've had enough of that. I want God's will to be done. Next, believers submit to God's will. Next, this was true even in the first century. I don't have this in your notes, so I'm just going to read something. No one ever did as he pleased. No one. No apostle, nobody just went out and did what they wanted to do. Nobody had the anointing and did what they wanted to do. That didn't exist. Everything, the author of Hebrews says, was done by or according to his will. Believers always submit to his will, including the first century. Yes, Peter and Paul and a handful of men did some unbelievable things. They were signs and wonders. I don't question it. But Paul didn't walk into a place and said, you know, I think I'll raise a few people from the dead. My friend, everybody submits to God's will every time. Last. Well, yeah, sometimes unwillingly, which is still better than my will. Next. God's will determined all. Then and now. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You might be surprised. God does not consult me. Never has. I never have gotten a phone call saying, Ralph, what do you think? I'm not expecting to get that phone call. My job is to figure out what God wants. Submit to that. So we have said so far, signs and wonders were always by God's sovereign will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a good introduction and beginning to this. Help us to think about this great question. So when we're talking to people, we present a normal Christian life, what God pretty much wants for us. Maybe a life of coming to know you, follow you, obey you, implement the scripture in our life, love you, be loved by you. And yes, along the way, we're going to fight some battles. And every once in a while, you're going to intervene in a beyond the providential way, in a miraculous way. Lord, we thank you for this. Bless our time now in Jesus' name.